It's the day after July the 4th, but as we told you earlier this week, the National Republican Party platform could be changing. We discussed that with Chad Connolly today on the Palmetto Family Matters show. Welcome into the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. It's the Palmetto Family Matters show. That's this one. It's July 5th in the year of our Lord 2024. We are all gathered in different locations doing this from all different parts of the country. So I'm going to insert Mitch's ding ding for him. Mitch Prosser is here. Dr. Steve Pettit is here, being joined by Chad Connolly, director of Faith Wins, because we talked about this on Wednesday, guys. And Mitch, I'm going to tee you up here. We talked about the possible changes that are coming to the Republican Party platform. And these are crucial because while Palmetto Family is a nonpartisan organization, platforms mean a lot in election time and really every time. Candidates run on the platform 80% of the time, and they vote alongside the platform 80% of the time. So, Mitch, before we get to Chad's perspective here, what are we seeing that could be changing in the party platform, just to catch everyone up before our conversation?
That's a good point, Justin. A wise man once told me that when we look at the political landscape and voting biblical values, we're always going to be picking between the lesser of two evils. We're always going to be looking at platform over people. We're not looking for popularity. We're looking at the platform and the planks of that platform as the basis on which we decide who represents that platform and who we're going to be voting for. Chad has a great perspective on this. He's been a part of the South Carolina GOP for a long time, as well as the national GOP, as the National Faith Outreach Director of the GOP for years. I think it's important for people to understand that the platform of the Republican Party, and while Palmetto Family is a nonpartisan organization, the platform of the Republican Party most closely aligns with our biblical values currently. But that's under assault, truly under assault. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, this is not hyperbolic. This is not trying to scare you into something so we can sell you something. Absolutely not. The Republican platform is under assault. And you need to wake up. You need to pay attention. And we brought Chad Connolly on to tell us a little bit more about what's going on.
And so before we get to Dr. Pettit, let me go to Chad now. Chad Connolly joining us. Thank you, sir, for being on here. Always great to chat with you, both, quote-unquote, online and offline. You are one of a few who are right in the midst of this. So explain to us what's going to be happening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the early part of next week.
Yeah, well, first, I appreciate you guys and love y'all and love what you're doing and really proud of what you've accomplished in South Carolina. And it matters, right? And life, as you and I know, we just celebrated July 4th yesterday, Independence Day, and the founders wrote in the Declaration of Independence that these rights we were given by God, endowed by their creator, were some inalienable rights. Life was the first one. And by the way, pursuit of happiness and liberty don't matter much if you're dead. And so that has been enshrined in the Republican Party platform since 1976. And for the first time in these 48 years, I see a real threat to diminish that importance of life. And let's face it, a lot of us got involved in the party because of the life issue. I know that was one of the main things that drove me to get involved.
Chad, I just want you to know we appreciate your position on that. And the biblical position is quite clear that life begins at conception and continues through the gestation period of development and then birth and coming into the world. And for Christians, this is a no compromise battleground for us. We hold those positions and we're going to vote for people that hold those positions. And that's primarily why many Christians are supportive of the Republican Party. So give us a better understanding of the platform and what's going on there.
Yeah, so a few months ago, my buddy Drew McKissick, he was my rules committee rep in 2012 when I was state party chairman. And before I went to work for the RNC as the first ever National Director of Faith Engagement, Drew, as State Party Chairman of South Carolina, asked me, he said, hey, if you get elected delegate, if you want to run, would you be our platform rep? And typically, the chairman in all 50 states and the six territories kind of handpicks who they want the representative to be. This platform's a big deal. It matters. Those are issues that we stand on and run on. I said, sure, Drew. I mean, you serve for me. I'm happy to do it. So after the delegate election in May, we had our delegate meeting coming up in late May, and Drew sent out the customary forms and the invite. Hey, we're going to have a delegate meeting to talk business, et cetera, et cetera. I better use the same letter and change the dates that I used in 2012 for the Tampa convention. And so we had our meeting, but the week before we started getting phone calls, my fellow delegates did that, me and LaDonna Riggs, because LaDonna was going to be the platform rep for South Carolina as well. LaDonna had done it three times. She was my platform female rep in 2012. We started getting calls from these other delegates who are 20-something year friends. And there were some mid-level staffers who were literally calling our friends, telling them, well, you know, Chad and LaDonna, they can't be trusted, and they're too Christian, and they're too pro-life, and by the way, which are good badges to wear. And so we started hearing about a pro-Trump slate they were going to run at the delegate meeting. Well, they didn't run it at the delegate meeting. They had a fake meeting before our meeting. They didn't give proper notice according to the rules. Some mid-level staffer with his own agenda ran the meeting, rammed it through. They invited delegates and alternates, which is not customary for the rules. It's not following state party or national party rules. Then they didn't even take a roll call. They have no idea who voted. Well, Drew ignored all that. We really didn't think much of it. We went ahead, ran our race. The people they put up ran against us. We beat them. So here's what I think happened, y'all. They replaced us on the official platform committee just Friday night. We submitted, Drew submitted all his forms. Me and LaDonna were on the list. I think what happened, and I believe I'm totally right about this, some mid-level staffers, they're trying to impress somebody, right? They want to be the undersecretary of the deputy of the assistant of the person that opens the door in some office building. And I get it. There's just personal agendas everywhere. Here's the sad thing. They overstepped their bounds. Then the higher ups had to cover their rear ends. That's what I think. I think there was some throwing of things and probably some loud words being used, and they goofed it up. They couldn't beat me and LaDonna. These are our friends. They voted for us. They didn't want to vote for somebody that had never been on platform before, had never done policy before. They're nice people that they put up. They're really nice people. But I'm scared they're going to be more observant to the consultants than they are to South Carolina values. The other thing is the sad thing. They used Trump donor money to work against South Carolina Republicans, loyalists. And they did it to advance their own agendas. That's the sad thing. These mid-level staffers, they should have been fired. They're going to get elevated because they're doing what somebody wanted to do. They just overstepped their bounds.
So, Chad, help us understand exactly what's the issue that those of us, you're talking about organizations, yeah, and politics and all that. The average person's not that interested in that. What does this mean as far as life and those kind of things?
So we had heard that there were consultants working in over 25 states to replace pro-lifers. And LaDonna Riggs and I both stood up in the delegate meeting and made this statement. I will not vote to diminish life, marriage, biblical values, Israel, or God in the Republican Party platform when I'm on the platform committee. The two people they replaced us with would not make that promise. And so those issues matter to Christians. And of course, y'all know I have a national pastor network. I talk to pastors every day. Most pastors I know, Dr. Pettit, would be like you. They probably wouldn't go out and say, you must vote for this candidate or this party, but they would make platform comparisons and let people see, here's why we stand for what we stand for. And so those issues are what make, look, parties are like people. They're just made up of, you know, sinners like me and you, but they stand for something. And so it looks to us like, and most of the pro-life groups, I've talked to Tony Perkins and Ralph Reed and Marjorie Dennis Felser and a whole lot more. Dave Cabal with Intercessors for America, talked to him this morning. They're very concerned there's going to be a watering down of some of those issues we care about, Dr. Pettit, when the platform committee meets Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday next week in Milwaukee. And instead of having mine and LaDonna's reliable pro-life votes, they got people who wouldn't even say that in front of the delegates in South Carolina. And by the way, that's why they lost the vote. But we were replaced. The consultants replaced us with them.
So project for us what that watering down would look like so that we could get a grasp on that.
You know, it's a good question. Our buddies at Family Research Council have put out a platform integrity project so that you can go read. Nobody has a copy of the platform yet. Nope, we don't have it. I talked to Tony Perkins day before yesterday. We don't know what it looks like. We feel like the only thing we can do, and I know I appreciate Perkins and Ralph Reed and their groups pushing back so hard on this, maybe phone calls from Christians to these actual representatives, make them back off. That's the hope right now, is don't do this, because if you diminish these stances, you're going to hurt conservatives' chances this fall.
Well, so Christian,
that's what it turns out to be.
Yeah. For us as Christians, we are committed to principle. We are committed to the things you've already mentioned. We are committed to life and all the other things. And we're not really committed to a personality. And that's where Christians stand. And if those positions are weakened, then what's going to happen is that Christians are they're not going to vote for people who are for abortion. It's not going to happen. And so what happens is you start to get apathy. And you get basically people who begin to draw back. It's like having a full bathtub and you pull the plug and it just starts draining down. This is going to weaken.
That's right.
It's going to weaken the Republicans. And it's going to happen all over the United States of America. It's not going to just be South Carolina. And so this is a great concern that the Republican platform needs to be strong on pro-life.
Well, and we've stayed strong for 48 years. In fact, the trajectory's been, you know, 14th Amendment protections and other things that make a clear stance. And it would give people a good contrast. I mean, listen, one reason a lot of Republicans will support the Democrat Party is they're all in for abortion at any level. And so this has been a great contrasting element. And I think that they believe, these consultants, every time I've been to convention since 2004, it's always been a discussion. I think this is a real threat this time, where I think they have the votes to do what they want to do, because frankly, they put a bunch of yes people in place.
Chad, I want to hang on to that point really quickly. And we appreciate Chad Connolly joining us, talking about the changes that could be coming to the Republican Party platform. Again, Mitch has mentioned we're a nonpartisan organization, but you look at the situation that we're in, and I hope people really understand, and Christians need to understand this right now. Just over the last week, we've had people dancing around as if they're King David bringing the Ark back into Jerusalem when it comes to the situation with current President Biden and the swirling storm in the Democratic Party. And that's going to be a combustible convention in Chicago in about a month and a half. No one's really talked about this because it's been kind of just out here stewing in the ether, no one paying attention. But there are two political parties, and we are a two-party system, for better or for worse. I don't care really where you fall on that. We have two political parties that are, I don't want to say in disarray, but there is certainly some back and forth that's beginning to happen at the power centers of both. And in fact, and we can get into this as little or as much as we want, but as we move into November, and as Christians look at this election, and many will call it the most important election of our lifetimes, I believe all of them are, how important is, I want to go back to Dr. Pettit's point, how important is it to embrace a platform that actually differentiates you from those who disagree, rather than posing fealty to a personality that won't be around as long as the Republican Party platform? Just very basically simple, the Republican Party platform will continue on in the 2028, 2032, 2036, and 2040 presidential elections, and however long else God gives us as a nation. How important is it that Christians stay committed to the very ideals in the platform, not so much to who orchestrates it?
You know, it's a great point, Justin. It's who we are. is we either stand for something or we'll fall for anything. I cannot tell you how many of these people in the consulting class, and let's face it, most of them can't identify a church in pictures, bless their heart. So they don't share core values. But I cannot tell you, I've explained it to campaigns for Senate, Congress, governor, president, state house, state senate, all over the country. And my line of then has been, look, you're trying to peel off 0.5% of the angry suburban soccer mom vote, and you think they're so bad at Republicans because we stand for life. And if you go there, then you're going to shelve, you're going to stymie, you're going to stop 10, 12, 15% of Christians from voting for you. And they will not accept that. You know, I told some very, very, very high level consultants in a famous place not many weeks ago. I said, one reason the consultants don't like me is I've proven I can do with pastor teams what they can't do, and we can do it for a fraction of the money. And I said, they had $1 billion last time and left 40 million non-voting Christians. That's what I dedicate myself to. And I never use a campaign or a party or a person. I'll talk about policies and principles that line up with a biblical worldview. So it goes to the essence of who we are, Justin.
Chad, you bring up the idea of not focusing it on personalities or people. Dr. Mike Hamlet, a pastor in the upstate First Baptist North Spartanburg years ago, did a message in his church where he compared the two party platforms. What are we supposed to tell these pastors like Dr. Mike Hamlet if the platform is watered down?
You know what the consultants say, and I'll give you their answer first, and I'll tell you how I respond. They say, what are the Christians going to do? They're going to vote for us. They don't have a choice. And they're partly correct. And what I've told them is, yeah, they may vote for you, but they won't go to work for you. You won't get the multiplication effort. And here's the really hard part, y'all. Then these experts who make a ton of money, whether they win or lose, they'll turn around and say, well, the Christians didn't come out and vote. And I want to say, no, you bozos. You gave them a reason not to go to work for you. And I've told so many of them, y'all, pastors to me aren't data points like you think. They're multipliers. And they're removing the multiplication effect because you're right. They can't dive in. They may say, gosh, you can't vote for that person or that party because of this, this, this. But if they lose the enthusiasm, listen, what these hacks did in South Carolina, they created division where there wasn't any. They took two really nice people and replaced me and LaDonna with them. They're good folks. I think they just believe they can use them. I really do, with all my heart. They got caught up in this because some mid-level staffer is overstepping their bounds, and they've got their own agenda. And so it becomes very, very difficult. If you go changing life platform language, it becomes very difficult for a pastor to stand there and say, I'm supporting because.
So there are a lot of people that are listening to this right now are probably wondering, well, they may be feeling helpless, and that's not what we want them to feel. They may be feeling hopeless, and that's certainly not what we want them to feel. We want them to know what to do.
No.
And there's a website that Palmetto Family, Faith Wins, Family Research Council, so many FPAs across the nation have signed on to. It's Platform Integrity Project. platformintegrityproject.com. Now, Chad, I was on that website just a little while ago, this morning, and as I surfed through the website, I went to sign my name up. You know, I've signed our organization. Dr. Pettit has led our organization in the effort to put our name on the website. But as I surfed the website to put my name on it, I noticed that there were two names as the South Carolina delegates to the platform meetings in the convention, and they're friends of mine. I've met them along the way, and they're great people. Help me out. Do people need to be contacting Verd Odom and Jerry McDaniels?
100%. Look, I love both of them. They're friends. I think they got caught up in this. And look, those mid-level staffers, I'll tell both of them when I send them in Milwaukee, you've been lied to by the best. And, you know, those people are out for their own agendas. And I believe that Verd and Jerry, who are friends of mine and great people, I think they're being used as tools to create this leverage. So, yeah, South Carolina Christians absolutely need to call them. They need to load them up and say, hold on to your integrity. This matters. Your integrity matters, and life matters. Do not go voting to water this down. You know, and look, nobody's even seen the platform, y'all. It's not been released. Now, I think if this happens, what you'll see is the national pro-life groups are going to shift from maybe helping out the highest levels to going down the House and Senate races. That's what I think will happen. I've already heard that rumor talking to my friends in the pro-life movement, because you're right. It just makes it tough for a committed Christian if you go taking out language. And listen, the political practicality of the Dobbs decision that returns it to the states, that shouldn't change our platform. That may change the political reality in the short term. We've always dealt with that. But you don't have to go changing platform language to make that point.
Well, we're certainly, I think there's, well, we'll say that for final thoughts. Let's go around the horn really quickly. Mitch, any final thoughts on this discussion? We can go long form here, but we want to save people some time on their 4th of July weekend. So any final thoughts from Mitch? I see him shaking his head. No, Dr. Pettit, any parting thoughts here as we wrap up today's show?
Yeah, I think unity has to come from positions, and to bring a different position to the platform is just going to bring greater disunity.
And Chad, really appreciate you joining us. Any final thoughts for the folks who are listening to this special episode today?
Well, listen, I appreciate y'all taking a stand, and you know, it hurts when people lie about you. I don't like that. I'm not doing this for that. It ain't about me. This is about a much bigger picture. And I believe with all my heart, these are mid-level staffers who overstep their bounds. Sadly, though, they use Trump donor money and they use Trump's name. And that's sad. And I wish they'd be punished for that. But the only way I know to handle this now is to hold the people on the platform accountable and make a bunch of phone calls to them.
Chad Connolly joining us talking about this. We want to remind folks that if you want more information, go to platformintegrityproject.com. Platformintegrityproject.com. Sign up there. Share that with your friends and family, please. These discussions about the platform happen on Monday and Tuesday. And if I can be quite frank with you, the Dobbs decision and the effects of that have been a good thing. And the worst thing that conservatives could do would be to moderate on the issues of life, marriage, Israel, and biblical values. I will speak for Chad on this one because I know him and I think he would agree. If you believe that life begins at conception, that marriage is between a man and a woman, that Israel should be protected, and that God should matter in the discourse of our country, if that makes me an extremist, then I'll gladly wear the label. Amen. I'll gladly wear the label. For Mitch Prosser, for Dr. Steve Pettit, for Chad Connolly, thank you, sir, for joining us. We appreciate it. Hopefully we can talk to you again real soon. I'm Justin Hall. Thank you so much for listening to today's special episode of the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto Family Matters Show.